Hello and welcome back to the PAL with Reb T, the show where we talk a Mishnah of Pirkei Avos per day with sagely commentary and practical advice to say. I'm your host, Reb T. Questions, comments, suggestions, you could shoot me an email at maximumtee@yahoo.com. We're in the middle of Avos, all the previous episodes and all the previous seasons. We're in the middle of season 3 here, but if you want to hear the first half of season 3 or season 2 or 1, go to www.anchor.fm/TaniG. That's www.anchor.fm/TaniG to get any and all of the previous episodes. Now we're trying to use it through sheer enjoyment. Also going to continue with Anchor for this season. Not sure about the future. But right now we are in 4-9 of Ostalid tests. Let's talk about poor versus rich with regards to fulfilling the Torah. Rabbi Yonasan Omer, Rabbi Yonasan says, Kol ha-mekayim es ha-Torah me'oni, whoever fulfills the Torah despite poverty, sofo l'kayim ha-me'osher, will ultimately fulfill it in wealth. V'chol ha-mevatel es ha-Torah me'osher, but whoever neglects the Torah because of wealth, sofo l'vatla me'oni, will ultimately neglect it in poverty. We can't use richness or poorness as an excuse for neglecting Torah study. We have to do our utmost to study the Torah regardless of our financial standing, regardless of how busy we are, regardless of our fulfillments and our needs and our requirements and our different roles and responsibilities in life. So Rav Yonasan says this, one who suffers poverty yet takes off time from his work to study Torah or perform mitzvos forgoing his basic needs will eventually be blessed with such wealth that he will no longer need to work, affording him the time and peace of mind to concentrate joyfully on his pursuit of Torah and mitzvos, as Rav and Rav Yonah explain. Rambam commends the poor man for his ability to set aside all his woes and worries and concentrate on his studies. That must be very difficult for him, especially when he's worried where his next dollar will come. His just reward is that he will eventually be granted the wealth and serenity to learn without disturbance. Although initially it might be a struggle to meet his basic needs for the poor person as he pursues the study of Torah, once he acquires Torah wisdom, he is assured prosperity and serenity, for Torah contains all desirable world qualities, as it states in Koheles, Ki betzel ha-chachma betzel ha-kasef, for to sit in the shelter of wisdom is to sit in the shelter of money. That's from King Shlomo. And Rambam sees an allusion to this in the following verse, L'man anoscha u'l'man nasosecha lehetivcha b'acharisecha, in order to inflict you, in order to test you, to do good for you in the end. And that's how we could see that. Midrash Shmuel explains that in order to look at this, if you're looking at one's degree of success at Torah study, intellectual understanding, think about one who suffers from intellectual poverty, attempting to study and fulfill the word of God in spite of limited understanding, will eventually be blessed by God with a deeper intelligence. Alternatively, Rav Yonasan means that one who holds steadfast to the Torah in spite of poverty will merit eternal wealth in the world to come. Medrash Shmuel. But whoever neglects because of wealth will ultimately neglect it in poverty. The Mishnah refers to one who becomes so involved in the management of his wealth that he makes no time for Torah study, as Rav explains. Rav Yonasan warns that he will eventually suffer terrible misfortune, lo aleinu, and be reduced to poverty, lo aleinu. In his new circumstances, he will continue to neglect the study of Torah, for as he struggles daily to eke out a living, he will find it too difficult to set aside any time for Torah study, as Magen Avos points out. A wealthy person cannot claim that he was too busy managing his wealth to study Torah. For we find in Yoma that Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim, who was fabulously wealthy, succeeded in overcoming all obstacles and rationalizations against personal Torah study, as Magen Avos points out. The reason the wealthy man, alternatively, to whom the Mishnah refers, fails to study Torah is not because he is overly involved in his business affairs. Rather, although his wealth provides him with ample time to learn, he squanders his time and riches, indulging in worldly pleasures. As a punishment, he will lose all his wealth. Even then, he will not learn Torah, for he will be too occupied in his quest to acquire life's basic necessities, as Rambam explains. Wealth, though, according to this, is the cause of his neglect of Torah, either causing him to overwork or allowing him to lead a life of pleasure. This is in contrast to the opening where poverty is a distraction that one had to overcome in order to prevail at his studies. So we have to see that wealth could be a hindrance or a forgoance. It could hold us back or it could help us propel further, depending on how life takes you with the guidance of what Hashem decides. Although there are wealthy people who neglect to study Torah and yet continue to retain their wealth, this doesn't contradict the principle. Although the principle is true, there are other factors that might allow one to retain his wealth, see a Chassid Yavetz. But in line with the approach above, Medrash Shmuel explains that the Mishnah refers to intellectual wealth. If one who possesses tremendous wisdom abandons the Torah and the learning, he'll eventually forget all his learning. This actually happened to Doeg, an outstanding scholar who turned wicked and lost all his Torah knowledge before he died, see Sanhedrin. Alternatively, if a wealthy person neglects to study Torah, even if he manages to retain his wealth in this world, he will suffer eternal poverty in the afterlife, as Medrash Shmuel points out. And that's alluded to in Devarim, Tachas Ashalovat Hashem Lekacha B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav Merov Kol V'Avadat Esayveach Hashem Shalchenu Hashem Bach Berovav V'Tzamo V'Erom V'Choser Kol. You didn't serve Hashem with gladness and goodness when everything was abundance. You'll serve your enemies when Hashem will send them against you in hunger and in thirst and without anything. So hopefully we learn not to do that. Even if you don't have a ton of money, try to study and learn for Hashem, not for Hashem, but to make yourself better in order to serve Hashem better. And then, God willing, hopefully you'll get a lot of money and you'll have a life of serenity and peace so you could learn without worrying about any financial burdens, without worrying about where the next dollars will come. So start. Even if you don't have a lot of money, hopefully Hashem will give you a lot of money, and always set aside time for learning every day. Kovei Itim doesn't have to be an hour, 15 hours, 25 hours. Even if you do a few minutes or an hour throughout your day, try to find time, carve out time. There's so many projects out there to do that, and then hopefully you'll be able to have more and more time without being burdened by financial responsibilities. Join us next time as we talk about limiting business and engaging in Torah here on the PAL with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.